Chapter 2. The Man in the Car. Inside the car, Mark tried desperately to escape, but he couldn't open the door. The man hit him hard in the face, and Mark screamed in pain. His nose and left eye hurt terribly.
"Shut up!"
the man ordered, and Mark obeyed. As the man put his hand out to take the whiskey bottle, which was between the seats, Mark saw that there was a gun there too. The man took a long drink from the bottle and then said quietly, "We're going to die together, kid."
"Please let me go," Mark cried. He was trembling and stared nervously at the gun.
Then he looked quickly into the side mirror and saw something move in the grass behind the car. He knew that it was Ricky.
"Pull out the hose," Mark kept saying to himself.
The man saw that Mark was looking at the gun. Suddenly, he had an idea.
"Well, kid, all you have to do is shoot me. Then you can go," the man said, offering the gun to Mark.
Very scared, Mark took the gun. It felt very heavy, and his hands trembled. He was about to pull the trigger when suddenly the man grabbed the gun from him and held it in front of Mark's face. Mark put his head down and began to scream. At exactly the same instant, the man pulled the trigger. The bullet flew above Mark's head and hit the window behind him. The window cracked but did not break.
"Shut up, kid!"
the man shouted, throwing the gun onto the floor.
"Stop making all that noise!"
Mark forced himself to be quiet and tried to think of what to do next. The man drank a lot more whiskey, which seemed to make him calmer. Mark saw that the bottle was almost empty.
"Hey, kid, I can feel the gasoline fumes now. Can you?" the man asked.
"Yeah, I can,"
Mark lied, certain that Ricky had pulled out the hose.
"Maybe I should keep the man talking," Mark thought. "Maybe then he'll forget about the gasoline and the gun."
He looked at the man.
"What's your name?"
he asked. "Jerome Clifford, but everybody calls me Romy," the man answered.
"Have some whiskey."
He gave the bottle to Mark. Mark didn't want to make the man angry, so he drank a small amount and then gave the bottle back to him.
"Why do you want to die, Romy?" he asked.
"I'm a lawyer from New Orleans, Louisiana," Romy said. "And I think one of my clients wants to kill me, but I won't let him. I'd prefer to kill myself."
"Who is this client?"
Mark asked, still scared of Romy, but fascinated by his story.
"His name is Barry Maldano," Romy said. "He's in the mafia in New Orleans, and he's killed a lot of people. Well, a few months ago, he killed a really important person, Boyd Boyette."
Romy paused and drank some more whiskey before continuing. "Boyette was a U.S. senator from Louisiana who disappeared a few months ago."
"But he didn't disappear, of course. Maldano killed him. He's even been accused of the murder, but the police and the FBI have got a problem.
They haven't found the body, and without a body, they can't prove that Boyette's dead or that Maldano killed him." Romy stopped to drink the rest of the whiskey.
"But I still don't understand why Maldano wants to kill you," Mark said.
"Well, Maldano told me where the body is," explained Romy. "And now I'm scared that he'll kill me so that I can't tell anyone. But he won't get the opportunity. Ah, I can feel the gasoline working."
"Where's the body?"
Mark asked. He knew he had to keep Romy talking.
"It's funny," Romy said. His speech was becoming slower.
right before I die, I can finally tell. It's under the boat in my garage,
Romy answered.
I was out of town. Maldano put it under my garage floor.
Suddenly, Romy began to breathe loudly, and Mark knew that he was asleep. He had drunk too much whiskey. Mark had seen that happen to his father. He immediately got out of the car and ran down to the trees where Ricky was waiting.
I pulled the hose out,
Ricky said. His hands were trembling and he was talking very fast.
I heard the gunshot, but I saw you move your head around afterwards, so I knew you were alive. What happened to your eye?
He hit me, Mark said angrily. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go right back up there and put the hose back in the tailpipe.
No, Mark, no, don't,
Ricky implored. Several minutes passed, during which the boys tried to decide what to do next. Just then, they heard the car door open and saw Romy get out of the car with the gun in his hand. When he saw the hose on the ground, he looked up at the sky, shouted obscenities, and began to cry. He pulled himself onto the back of the car and sat against the back window, with his legs in front of him. Very carefully, he put the gun into his mouth. A second later, he closed his eyes and pulled the trigger.